من و تو هم خونیم، بچه ایرونیم، خاک ما خونه ماست، عاشقش میمونیم. وطن خاطره ها، وطن نذر و دعا، خاک دل دادگی و داغ دل بستگی و
یاد مردونگیاش، همه لوتی گریاش، خون دل ها خوردیم سر عاشق کشیاش.
وطن هر جا که باشی، خاک تو خاک منه،
what it is.
So why is you so pro-abortion?
We're not pro-abortion, we're pro-life.
Has you ever had an abortion?
No, I've never had an abortion.
Surely you should try something before you say it is banned.
No. Oh no, we've known many, many women that have had an abortion.
Yes.
But like, I was very, very anti-Burger King. But then, you know, me went there and me tried the flame-grilled Whopper and it was like, you know, it was amazing.
It was like amazing flame grill whopper. So we should try abortions. Is that what they're trying to say?
No, I don't think that's what he's trying to say. It has some rapt to today's show. We're talking about protest today. And starting off on that note, before we go into some juicy stuff, let me bust out with some not so juicy stuff.
Juicy. Bust it out.
Juice it up for us, Behnoosh.
Well, I just, have you guys heard about what's going on right now? Well, of course you guys heard about it, but the food shortage situation that's going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues right now going on in the world. One of them is that food shortage. I do agree.
Apparently, more than 20 countries are affected by this.
Really?
Yeah, did you know that?
There's plenty.
Yeah, we don't even notice it here in the U.S. as much, do we? Except in Costco, I heard.
Why?
No, Costco? You know, no. There's,
oh, yeah, no, there's sanctions. Yeah, you can only buy one bag of rice per family.
Yeah, you can't buy more than like 4 or 5 bags of rice per family.
But you know what's interesting about this is that, I mean, it's affecting all these different countries, but some people are really in shock. They're like, but in America? I mean, this is America and we can only have one bag of rice. I mean, this is like a complete shock to them. And I actually found a really interesting article, and this guy was, apparently he's like this serious blogger guy, but it was his reaction to this article saying, is this America or is this Ethiopia with the food shortage? I know. And so he was reacting to the food prices that have led to the riots in Haiti, Indonesia, and African countries. And he says, and I quote him, I'll bleep out the good parts. Hey, you dumb bleepers, read this. You are now in a category with Haiti, Indonesia, and several African nations. He's talking to Americans. Thank you for making me laugh today. What is more funny than imagining the fattest, glutinous effers on a planet Earth, Americans, having to live on food rations? Poor Haiti people. I can understand why they're all so poor. Always having Americans put that beast in power in order to enrich the sleazy American businessman. I can understand why Africans have problems. They never had a chance after centuries of exploitation by American slaveholders and Western European colonialists. That's, but what are your effing excuses for needing food aid, Americans?
That's very true. I think it's very important for Americans and every other person who's living, you know, a good life and have food to eat to realize that this it's not the case all over the world. I mean, 1 billion people live on less than $1 a day. 850 million people are starving.
Yeah, we have it good here in America. I mean, honestly. But
compared to
other countries, right. Exactly.
Was your China has 20% of the world's
population. What's interesting?
And only maybe my statistics that I was about to bust out and you interrupted me.
Anything you say is interesting.
I guess it wasn't that juicy, but anyways, about talking about how China has 20% of the world's population and only 7% of the world's fresh water.
Holy wow.
I think we should find that clip by Chris Rock. talks about how Americans are fat. I don't know if we have it or not, but it'll be interesting. I don't know if you guys heard it. It's very true what he says. It says a lot of places in the world, if you're fat, you know, if you have some weight on you, that's really a good thing. That means you have money to eat. You are healthy, you know, as opposed to America.
Yes, we must be highly wealthy because we have got some of the glutinous. I put my fingers up in quotes. Although we're not very glutinous here. But okay, what about in Iran? There's other countries who are seriously we're glutinous, but Iran.
Iran هم برنج خیلی الان کم بوده.
Yeah.
برنج رو الان کلن تو کل دنیا بزرگترین مشکل برنج و گندم.
There's a 400,000 ton rice shortage in Iran right now.
بله. قیمت برنج خیلی رفته بالا. همینجا هم رفته بالا. یعنی همه یو تعجب کردن که مثلا یو سه برابر شده قیمت برنج به خاطر که برنج خیلی کم شده.
Aslan to Liberia, they gave up berenj and they're going to pasta. Pasta is really cheap. And so they're learning how to eat pasta for the first time. Like they were interviewing
to
them.
To Liberia? You said? Where?
Liberia?
Like Kuzikosti?
Liberia.
Oh, Liberia. To Liberia. Libraries serve rice in the first place.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Maybe you meant school, like in schools when you go to the cafeteria.
All right, bunch
of
comedians.
Why is she saying library?
Anyways.
Liberia.
So our guy, Ahmadinejad had a little something to say about the food shortage in Iran. And he was mostly suggesting for the formation of a global organization to regulate the food market. And so he says, the devaluation of the dollar and the global inflation and some others consider environmental changes and droughts, the increase in consumption, the inappropriateness of agriculture methods, and the low level of production efficiency and the witness of farmers. This is the reason why.
Doesn't this already exist? The United Nations has a food development program. I mean, isn't this the same kind of deal?
I mean,
he just probably wanted to create his own thing, like not want to do anything with the rest of the world.
خب، شنوندگان رادیو جوان، برنامه ایران کن لایو، امروز باز هم اومدیم پیشتون. چهارشنبه ها، هر چهارشنبه نه، یک چهارشنبه در میون، ساعت 7 به وقت کالیفرنیا، ساعت 10 به وقت واشنگتن دی سی یا نیویورک. امروز راجع به تظاهرات داریم صحبت میکنیم، فرهنگ تظاهرات، قیام، راهپیمایی، جنبش، هرچی میخوای اسمشو بذاری. I guess my American friends here call it protest.
Yes, that's what we call it.
Okay.
Protest.
یه سوال خوبی که میتونیم باش شروع کنیم، من فکر کنم از خودمون بپرسیم یا اینکه از شنونده‌هایی که دارن گوش میدن، واقعا آیا تظاهرات یا این راهپیمایی اینا اثری داره؟ Does protest ever even do anything?
Well, a lot of time, I mean, obviously there's many, many protests in the Bay Area. We just love to get out there in San Francisco and protest at any chance we get. And obviously those people feel very strongly about it and they think that they're making some sort of a difference. But then we can talk about it later about what difference the different kinds of protests, when it starts getting violent, when it starts getting crazy. Like right now in Somalia, people are having a lot of violent protests for this food shortage and people are getting killed and stuff like that. But I mean, in our country, when we protest, it's like some people laugh at the protesters. Some people, you know, mostly in cities is where we find where people protest and they're like, oh, those hippie San Franciscaners, they're all the first ones to get out there and protest. And
well, by our country, you mean United States?
Yeah.
Okay. just because I wouldn't refer to our country as United States.
You're living
no,
in
I mean,
this country.
I mean, naturally, if I hear our country from an Iranian fellow, I would think
No,
Iran.
If we say our country, it means United States. If it means if we say our country, that means Iran.
Okay, got it.
I think that's the distinction
right,
there.
Thank you.
We're Iranian Americans. We have dual homes and all that good stuff. So
yeah,
that's true. نه فقط میدونی آخر برای من جالبه که این چیزی که گفتی که میخندن بهش تو ایرانم به نظر من اینجوری هست کم و بیش. خیلی نه که حالا بخندن. حالا تو میگی تو آمریکا مثلا تو سان فرانسیسکو تظاهرات میکنن، بعد نمیدونم تو میدوست مردم به سان فرانسیسکو یا میخندن.
نه اینکه نمیخندن، میگن احتمال میگن که what difference is it making?
آره.
Like, first any time something happens you guys are out in the streets, you're causing ruckus, like
آره.
You have nothing better to do.
آره. You know,
تو ایرانم به نظر من دقیقاً به خاطر همین علت، همه جای دنیا ولی منظورم که ایرانم همینطوره، تظاهرات ها خیلی وقتا به اصطلاح شکست میخوره، موفق نمیمونه و کار به اصطلاح کاری از پیش نمیبرن اون کسایی که تظاهرات میکنن، به خاطری که تنها میشن، سکلودد میشن، فقط یه گروه کوچیکی هستن که دارن مخالفت میکنن با یه چیزی، بقیه نمیان بگن خب بابا این بدبختا راست میگن، ما هم بریم کمکشون کنیم، میشینن نگاه میکنن میگن خب let's see what happens to them.
آره تو ایران میگی این اتفاق
تو ایران هم همین اینجاش هم به نظر من همینه اینجاش هم آره. به قول این مثلا بهنوش میگه که سان فرانسیسکو شده یه قطب بزرگ مثلا تظاهراتای آمریکا همه تو مثلا سان فرانسیسکو میان تظاهرات میکنن راجع به موضوعی یا برکلی مثلا دانشجو برکلی که ماشاءالله هر روز تظاهرات میکنه
اگر میدونستن
توی خوابگاهش میبینه فردا تظاهرات میکنه که ما سوسک دیدیم مثلا
اگه مردم میدونستن که این پروتست ها واقعا یه افکتی داره بعد بیشتر مردم میدیدید که یه کاری میکنن ولی واقعیتش اینه که خیلی کم پروتست افکت داره روی پالیسی so that's the reason why people don't care as much because they see people protesting and nothing happening you know big example of that Iraq war You know, hundreds of thousands of people protested against it, and it still went on, and it still happened.
But there have been cases where protests do actually change minds.
In the U.S.? I mean, in the U.S., it does in a very indirect way, and I think the free speech movement and the Vietnam War are good examples of that. But ever since then, what has there been? You know, ever since those two big protests in the 60s, has there really been any kind of significant protests that have affected policy of the US in any way.
بذار حالا من راجع به ایران برات بگم.
بگو.
یه چیز جالبی که به نظر من
Our country. Our country.
یه چیز جالبی که به نظر من خیلی یکی از شاید تظاهرات‌های خیلی مهم و جنبش‌های خیلی مهمی تو ایران بوده بعد از انقلاب خود انقلاب که به نظر من یه چیز استثنایی کاملا یه چیز استثنایی بوده همیشه revolution is too big to be considered any kind of protest I think ولی بعد از انقلاب زنا اولین باری که صحبت از قانون حجاب شد زنا همه اومدن توی خیابونا مثلا تو تهران 15,000 نفر ریختن توی خیابونا و شعارهای خیلی جالبی هم میدادن مثلا آزادی جهانی است نه شرقی است نه غربی است نمیدونم یه شعارهای خیلی به اصطلاح فمینیستی نبود ولی میشه گفت که مثلا ایکوالیتی میخواستن برای زن و مرد از جمله اینکه با حجاب داشتن مخالفت میگن با قانونی که حجاب داره و خیلی جالبه که بعد از 3-4 روز این اسفند 1357 یعنی this is March 1979 right after the revolution خب so after doing this for a few days they took back their words the government the temporary government of Iran took back their words about hijab they said okay I actually have a print of a old newspaper in روزنامه اطلاعات مال همون روزا آیت الله طالقانی مثلا he's a big you know Muslim scholar and he was very well respected گفته در مورد حجاب اجبار در کار نیست بعد از تمام این راهپیمایی ها نمیدونم مزاحمای این چیزه دادستان کل انقلاب مزاحمان خانمای بی حجاب ضد انقلابی هستن یعنی اگه کسی به بی حجاب با چیزی بگه ضد انقلابیه they're going against this revolution
yeah.
oh. All this happened ولی بعدش متاسفانه حالا میخوام دونه دونه بگم چه اتفاقاتی افتاده بعدش دوباره همطور که میدونیم خب الان حجاب تو ایران اجباریه به خاطر که اومدن توی 2 سال آینده کاری که کردن با اینکه خانوما انقدر قوی خودشون نشون دادن و یه جنبش به اصطلاح فمینیستی از خودشون نشون دادن ولی اومدن توی سالهای بعدی یواش یواش با قانونی کردن حجاب توی مراکز دولتی و اینا این حجاب رو جا انداختن و متاسفانه علتی که نتونستن ایرانی و خانوما بیشتر روی این خواستشون بمونن اینه که سازماندهی نداشتن برنامه ریزی نداشتن نیومدن یه سازمانی تشکیل بدن که با قدرت توی دولت بتونه حرفی بزنه همه خودشون بودن میدونی یه چیز کاملا مردمی بود خودجوش بود و برای همینم it slowly died away because they never really strongly created some sort of an organization to stand for him.
Well, you know, the problem, بعد از انقلاب, the biggest problem, right, was that Khomeini, گروه هایی که support میکنن Khomeini, یعنی fundamentalists که بودن, با توفنگ داشتن protest میکردن. یعنی داشتن طرز فکر خودشون جلو میوردن با توفنگ. Everybody else was trying to be more peaceful and trying to bring about, you know, change in a much more like peaceful way. ولی این مشم آدم هایی که الان یه قدرت تو ایران دارن همشون با توفنگ اومدن جلو. You know, they're like, حالا
در مورد این موضوع اینجوری نبوده. مثلا ما
حجاب؟
در مورد حجاب اینجوری نبوده مثلا هیچ کیسی نداریم که مثلا زنا رو یه موقع اعدام کرده باشن یا کاری کرده باشن به خاطر حجاب این خیلی به تدریج تونستن این کار کنن ولی ببین یه چیز دیگه هم که هست که برگردیم مثلا به 30 سال پیش توی ایران خب فکر کنید مردای ایرانی همیشه بوده دیگه تو فرهنگ ما بوده هنوزش هم هست چقدر تعصب دارن رو زنشون و دخترشون خیلی وقتا اصلا تو مثلا شاید بعضیا بودن که قبل از انقلاب اصلا نمیذاشتن زن و بچه‌شون از در خونه بیرون بره این کیسا بوده و هنوزم هست و اینا مثلا اینا خیلی مثلا پرو حجاب بودن، یعنی خیلی حمایت میکردن از اینکه حجاب باشه، میگفتن حالا که حجاب هست حالا زنا میتونن راحت برن توی اجتماع برن و بیان از این کارا. و این اقشار به جای که خیلی نگاه میدونی همه اینجوریان دیگه، همه به خودشون نگاه میکنن، همه گروهای کوچیک شدن، خب اینا فقط به خودشون نگاه میکنن، اونام حمایت نمیگیرن از اینایی که سنتی و مذهبی فکر میکنن، حمایت نمیگیرن از مردا، حمایت نمیگیرن، و بنابراین همینجوری یواش یواش دیدار وای. And that was just something interesting. I thought, it'd be interesting to mention.
So, what are to Iran? You know, protests. I think it was. Were there other protests that are really significant?
بزرگترینی که بوده همین به اصطلاح 18 تیر یا کوی دانشگاه بود که حدود الان فکر کنم 7 سال 8 سال پیش میشه. 8 سال پیش بود که دانشجوها اول به خاطر که یه روزنامه رو بستن، یه روزنامه به نام سلام بسته شد توی ایران.
I was in Iran for that time, actually.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it was kind of juicy.
Did you organize a protest?
Yeah, I was all there. Like, hell no, we won't go. I'm just kidding.
منم بودم.
Won't go where?
گوش کن. حالا من میخواستم برم. من 17 سالم بود. میخواستم با یکی از دوستان برم تظاهرات. نه هر شب میرفتمون. میگفت نمیبرم. Oh, wow. هر کاری کردم میگفت نمیبرم. گفتم چرا؟ گفت تو از آمریکا اومدی، میگیرن میندازنت زندان، میگن تو جاسوسی. گفتم بعدم فهمیدم چقدر عقلش میرسیده. They actually did that to some people. ولی به هر حال یه چوری حدود 5-6 روز طول کشید، اول از اون شروع شد، بعدن دیگه خیلی بزرگتر شد، چون اتفاقی که افتادی که اولش به اصطلاح یه پیسفول پروتستی بود، بعدن شب یه سری اومدن لباس شخصی ها بهشون میگن یا گروه فشار اگه شنیده باشین، که به هر حال they're the self proclaimed defenders of the revolution. اومدن و متأسفانه خیلی بد رفتار کردن و مثلا تو خوابگاه ها و اینا دانشجوها رو زدن و از فردای اون روز خیلی این موضوع بزرگتر شد. خیلی بزرگتر شد و به یه حد رسید که مثلا یهو 4 وزیر استعفا دادن. نمیدونم مثلا خیلی شلوغ پلوغ شد و
ور زمین وزیر استعفا دادن.
وزیر استعفا دادن؟
وزیر means minister of in the government.
Basically had
they signed they gave their resignation to the Rais Jomhur.
Right.
That's what it means. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to take a break now, and we'll be right back talking about protest culture.
Can't give life, it can only take it away. Oh, whoa. Good God, y'all.
Oh boy, do we all recognize that song?
Yeah.
I didn't think so.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's good to be back on Ironican.
Bobak, you're here with us.
Your guest appearance, oh Bobak Alavi.
Well, if you didn't know, now you know, ladies and gentlemen, we have Bobak Alavi joining us. If you have
and
seen,
as always, I promise to remain fairly unbalanced.
Ooh.
That's pretty true.
Like all of us.
Anyways, he'll be joining us in our discussion today, and we're all pretty excited about that.
So we're going to talk about protest culture. There's a whole thought before us here that there's a culture with each different region and the way they protest. Benish, what do you think about that protest culture?
There's a different culture of protest.
That's what they say. You know, they say that like in the U.S., there's a certain way they go about protesting.
Stone slackers.
Compared to other
like
places.
The hippie type, yeah. And then there's the way, like let's say in Iran, they protest, or the way in France they protest, like the reasons behind
how
it.
Do they protest in France?
They burn cars.
Ooh la la, ooh la la, ooh la la, ooh la.
No, okay, France, they're wrong. Hardcore in France. The student protests, they like burn cars.
They burn cars, yeah.
Turn them upside down.
Yeah, because yeah. They know the police doesn't do anything about that. They just let them go, you know?
I think France is like the San Francisco or the Berkeley of the world in that case.
Of
except,
Europe.
Except they're more violent.
And well, stylish. Then into
the, of the world.
اوکی
اتفاقا داشتم یه چیزی میخوندم خیلی جالب بود یه بلاگی بود به نام Second Self و راجع به فرق تظاهرات در ایران و فرانسه بود و داشت یه کامپرسوری انجام میداد و میگفت که مثلا این سال حرف از دو سال پیشه که یه قانون کاری توی فرانسه پاس شد که اونایی که اولین بار وارد بازار کار میشن یه سری مزایاشون رو از دست دادن یعنی خیلی از دانشجوها طبق این قانون مثلا میخواستن تازه برن شروع کنن به کار یه سری مزایاشون رو از دست میدادن بعد دانشجوها ریختن توی خیابون و تظاهرات و همین چیزایی که راجع به فرانسویا میدونیم که خیلی سریع میریزن خیابون رو بزن و آتیش بزن و شیشه بشکنه و مغازه و دزدی از این حرفا.
Well, that's only بعد... some parts of France to be fair, not all of France. But okay, go ahead.
حالا به هر حال و بعدش روز جهانی زن بود و تظاهرات زنان توی پارک دانشجو تهران و این دوتا رو با هم مقایسه کرده بود و خیلی جالب بود که میگفت با اینکه این دانشجوها تقریبا تنها قشری بودن که تو فرانسه این بهشون مربوط میشد این قانون همه ریخته بودن و داشتن ازشون حمایت میکردن بعد میگفت توی تظاهراتی که تو ایران بود با اینکه زنا شعارهایی که میدادن شعارهایی بود که هم برای مردا به اصطلاح بنا میداد هم برای زنان یعنی یه شعارهایی بود که کاملا بنیادی بود در مورد حقوق بشر بود اصلا خیلی هم فمینیستی و اینا هم نبود ولی با این حال میگفت این گروه زنا تنها مونده بودن مثلا مردا نمیرفتن خودشونو قاطی کنن کسای دیگه نمیرفتن گروه های دیگه قشرهای دیگه نمیمدن از
چرا؟
حمایت کنن
چرا نمیمدن
چراشو من نمیدونم ولی این یکی از اشکالاتی که اگه صحبت از فرهنگ تظاهرات که میکنی به نظر من یکی اشکالاتیه که شاید کشور ما داره و ما داریم و یا خیلی کشورهای دیگه یعنی تظاهرات فرهنگ درست باید داشته باشه یا درست you do it right or you don't even bother میدونی چی میگم و درستش اینه که اگه میبینیم کسی راست میگه ازشون حمایت کنیم جوینشون کنیم و متاسفانه این توی ایران نیست
Well, they passed it to Iran. There's a big fear of protesting because if you protest on a topic that's of extreme importance that might in some way be against the government's line of thinking then you're, you know, he has a lot of fear, a true good fear that actually exists, that you might get hurt physically.
I think in varying degrees that exists in every country. I mean, even in...
Not so much in the U.S. though.
No, I mean, in the United States recently we had like the whole case of protest groups being wiretapped and spied on by FBI and things like that just for having like anti-war views.
Oh yeah, no, they control your lives in many other ways, but they won't kill you immediately, you know. That's the
immediately.
Problem.
They just send you to Guantanamo Bay for a while. You'll have some fun there. نه ولی خلاصه میگفت که مثلا توی فرانسه از 84 دانشگاه خب 52 دانشگاهشون از این موضوع حمایت کردن. از 84 تا 52 تا بلافاصله اومدن و خیلی به سرعت ساماندهی دادن برنامه ریزی کردن و کارشون رو پیش بردن و تونستن این کار کنن. و میگفت تو فرانسه اصلا دولت فرانسه همیشه نگران اینه که به خاطر تظاهرات مردم قدرتش از دست نده. یعنی خیلی وقتا در زمانهای مختلف توی تاریخ فرانسه دولت فرانسه قدرتش رو از دست داده و مجبور شده مثلا اون دولت مرداش استعفا بدن و عوض بشن به خاطر که مردم تظاهرات کردن. و این اگه یه چیزی باشه که توی بقیه دنیا جا بیفته به نظر من خیلی عالیه، به خاطر که مثل یه چکس اند بالانس سیستم میمونه دیگه، یعنی دولت هم حواسش جمعه که این موقع مردم خرابش نکنن.
ببین پروتست، I have witnessed and engaged in a few protests myself. And I wonder, and people, I mean, I talk to people who do have the same views, and they agree with the people who are protesting, yet they don't involve themselves in that culture. They'd rather sit back and either let someone else speak for them or do something else. I don't know. A little birdie told me it was a capitalistic point of view.
No, we're gonna get into capitalism, and I'll tell you that's not the reason capitalism is problematic here. Or at least I don't think so. I don't know where you got that from.
Wait, I don't get it. What? What'd you say?
یه جوک بگم.
تو رو خدا.
جوک؟
یه دوستمون از آذربایجان اومده بوده.
Oh, that wasn't a joke.
نه. یارو میره تظاهرات، بعد 5 دقیقه برمیگرده. میگن خب چی شد؟ چرا رفتی برگشتی؟ میگه والله اینقدر شلوغ بود، حوصله‌ام نمیشد. نخندی تو یه موقع
بچه های آذربایجانی بهشون بر میخوره.
This joke isn't cool enough for Babak Alavi. خوی یه حرفی بزن میستر ساندین آیا بیش.
Any joke by ایمان is good enough for Babak Alavi.
دمت گرم، میخوای یکی دیگه بگم.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, okay. I personally have issues with calling this whole idea of culture protest because I think if at any single moment in time, in a single certain place in time,
protest
there's a certain
culture
that happens because of the environment around you, right? Like in Iran, you know, yeah, because of its history, right now there is this fear of protesting against big issues such as, you know, making Iran change as a government. But when it comes to issues that where it's safer, you know, they would there you see protests happening there, and it happens probably quite often, more often than we probably see in the news here. For example, I know there was a protest against calling the Persian Gulf. There's many people who are calling it Arabian Gulf, and Iran is
Google.
A
what?
Yeah, Google, for example, and also Saudi Arabia and different countries in their educational systems, they call
out
it Arabian.
There, they.
I know. It's such a huge thing for us, apparently. But so you know, that's a protest that they do. They know the government's not going to mess with them on that, and they're going to go ahead and do that protest. To America, they have protests in varying ranges, but yeah, it's usually not like life or death situations where I'm starving, I need to protest against something. It's more like, you know, there's other people in the world starving, let's try to help them out by protesting. And it doesn't really, and also in the US, there's not much effects. But I still wouldn't consider this a culture because every year that could change depending on what's happening in, you know, the government, with currently what's happening in the world. So it's not like their culture is this ingrained and it's going to stay that way, and we should assume it's going to be like that. Because even in Iran next year, another Hijra tier could happen and we wouldn't have expected it, you know?
And this was Zeman speaking to all of you. Again, you guys are listening to Iranican Live. We're talking about protest culture today.
Iranican Live! Get excited about it. What was that?
Iranican Live.
Iranican
and we are
Live.
Here every other Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m.
EST.
Eastern Time.
Okay.
Be with us or be nowhere.
Be
I stole
us.
That line. Sorry.
Baby, in this protest situation, how you were talking about the women in the hijab, and they said that it would have been better had they had more organization. I'm down with that. And I believe that. And I actually, even though I do, you know, protest in the street, that's great. And that gets attention. But what are the best ways to go about these, to organizing and getting the proper way to be heard, other than being these little hoodlums in the street, you know?
You should not be hoodlums on the street.
من فکر میکنم که برای هر تظاهراتی، هر پروتستی، هر جنبشی این لازمه، نه فقط حالا این حجاب اینه. ولی این حجاب مثلا یه اگزمپل جالبی بود توی ایران، ولی هر پروتستی لازمه که خیلی اولا سریع باید این کار انجام بشه، سرعت خیلی مهمه و لازمه که یه سازماندهی سریع انجام بشه، یه ارگانیزیشن تشکیل بشه.
سازماندهی یعنی چی؟
ارگانیزیشن.
اوکی.
یه سازماندهی انجام میشه، برنامه ریزی بکنن و بعد خیلی سریع بخواد که اون موقعی که این پروتست داره انجام میشه همه کانسرنن. خب حتی اون گاورمنت هم کانسرنه که یه جوری به اصطلاح جواب بده، درسته؟ و همون لحظه اگر بتونی یه چیزی استابلیش کنی، یه
سازماندهی is not concerned.
Yes, they are. Of course they are. Every government is afraid of protest no matter what.
Yeah, they're afraid of you. They're afraid of assembly of people in some ways because they're afraid that that assembly could push against the government's power. It's basically a power problem that they want to keep under control.
But protests can be good for the economy because protesters, you know, support local restaurants and shops.
As long as they're not burning them and throwing you know, cement and bricks at them, yeah, they're totally supporting it. Yeah.
Well, someone's
got to rebuild those, you know, windows and things.
That's true.
تمام به
اصطلاح تظاهرات where you see lemons, I see lemonade.
حرف نزن.
Ivan, calm down.
Ivan's got a monopoly on the conversation today.
I'm
protesting, actually.
Yeah, I was protesting against Ivan's interruptions.
Control yourself, gentlemen.
های هر تا میام حرف بزنم سری میپره تو حرفم. خب حداقل صبر کن یه
جمله بگم. حرف نمیزنی یا میپری بابا چل.
بابا let's not pat over each other.
بابا چل.
Anyway, چیزی که می‌خواستم بگم اینه که
ایمان جون بفهم.
راهپیمایی که توی تهران تظاهراتی که تو تهران شروع شده تقریبا همه‌شون از دانشگاه تهران شروع شده. خیلی جالبه.
دمشون گرم.
همه یه سنتر دارن.
شریف هم همینطور شریفی هم کارو می‌کردن.
شریف هم آره ولی دانشگاه تهران معروفه که تمام تظاهرات اونجا شروع میشه.
دمشون گرم. دمشون گرم. But to America, my opinion, you know, the thing is that a lot of people say, "Oh, yeah, mass. If there's an issue, go protest. Go out there. Just go ahead, say your piece." But for me, it's like, okay, we have a government here. The government has certain processes. You know, like for example, if you have an issue with something happening in your neighborhood, or an issue even with foreign policy, go first talk to your congressperson. You know, you have a person representing you
in
the
work.
House of Representatives. Of course, it's...
Yeah, I'm not a pro, but how easy...
You can
easy?
Never say it's not going to work until you don't try it. You got to go first try it,
how
and then make sure it
doesn't
work. How easy
is that process, though? Like,
it's
seriously.
Not that hard at all. You
surely,
call them.
You got to try
it's
the
a number,
hamburger.
It's a local number. You call them and
yeah,
you schedule
a time.
Yeah,
but what about people who work full-time? You got to take the day off of work. You
take
go
off
there,
your lunch.
In
take
there.
Off an hour of lunch. I just don't eat one day. It's how hard is that?
I doubt it takes a lunch period
hire
to go
an
and
advocate
do
it. You can do it for a lunch period. You can outsource it.
Yeah, you can have somebody in India to do it. But no, like,
I can see this happening now. You know?
You're
going to mail away to a little like South Korean is going to like protest for you.
Chill out.
Let's not go there. Okay, let's not go to the
why not?
Racist comments.
Outsourcing protest. No, seriously.
Like, outsourcing
why can't you outsource the protest?
You said a little Korean.
South Korean. Let's not get racist here.
Okay, I think you...
Korean
moving along.
But you guys, okay, you guys know about AIPAC? You know what AIPAC is?
Like a pack of what?
No. AIPAC, AIPAC. These guys are a lobbyist organization. They're a Jewish lobbyist organization, right? And these guys
Israeli lobbyists.
Okay, yeah, they're pro-Israeli. They call themselves the pro-Israeli Jewish lobby organization. But yeah, I understand what you mean. Because they're not necessarily representing all the Jewish people in most of our opinions. But the thing is that they have this enormous power over the government. And why? Is it because of some sort of conspiracy theory that, you know, the Jewish people are everywhere and all that crap? No, it's these people work their butt off. You know, they work day and night to be able to get this power. You know, they deserve that power in some way because they worked for the last century to have influence in every single part of this government. Like, for example, every single time... Somebody in the United States runs for an office, any office, local, just you're running for a supervisor of your city or you're running for senator, AIPAC calls you. They call you and they say, here's who we are. Here's what we do. Here's, you know, the things we stand for. We want to be your friend, you know? Like, who's the guy that's the head of the, in the Bush administration? No. In the Bush administration, he was the Department of Justice head.
I have no idea. Head of Justice?
Department of Justice. I forgot his name.
Fulani.
But in any case, a lot of these people who are now in enormous, powerful positions in the United States, they got those local calls when they were just running for city council by AIPAC, and they've built these friendships over decades, over 30, 40 years, and then now it's where it's gotten them all these benefits, where anytime they just pick up the phone, you know, any issues that these people have that they might, in one sentence, say something that might be one little, you know, against Israel, they go,
oh my,
hey, correct
isn't,
yourself,
isn't
correct
this,
yourself.
Isn't this a sign that the normal way of approaching the government doesn't work, so they had to come up with this whole AIPAC?
No, this is grassroots. This is grassroots.
This
is the people doing it. Right, AIPAC was started in a grassroots movement. Right, it wasn't some sort of like conspiracy happening. It was just a lot of people who are very passionate about a certain subject.
I don't know if I would call lobbying grassroots per se.
No, it got to a point where it was lobbying, but it starts out as grassroots. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think even for Iranian Americans here, you know, groups like NIAC, I think, you know, they're trying to get to that same position where the people understand that they have the power really to be able to influence the government around them.
But I think
not just protesting randomly, you know, like actually going and doing something.
I think Behnish brought up a point earlier that was kind of relevant to the whole effectiveness of lobbying, and that it definitely does appeal to a certain class of people. Like, I can't really see the local working man starting up, you know, a political action committee.
Exactly.
And, you know.
But no, they don't have to start it. They have to just be a part of it, right? Like, they have to agree with that certain way of thinking.
Correct.
That
but it's,
yeah, but
it's
they need to reach wealthy man who can take that
you don't
time
need to
and
be
has
wealthy.
The.
I just feel like this approach is going to necessarily lend itself to causes that have more money behind them.
Of course.
No, it's not about money at all. It's about your passion about a certain issue and how
but
you go about influencing.
But to take time out to put effort and energy in that, you have to have the luxury
the
to
individual
be able
citizen,
to have that free time.
You can never contact these people to the degree that someone working full time can. And these lobbies just hire, you know, several dozens of people to work full time on any given issue.
I can't
issue.
Imagine how easy that would be.
Yeah,
but
so
protesting, you get
go,
the media covering
sure.
you, and that's some way to get out there.
No, I mean, imagine you write a letter to your congressman. If I have a lobbyist group, I mean, I have 40 hours a week to.
Yeah,
I have a along the same lines. I was going
to say
when Behnush mentioned capitalism. چیزی که می‌خواستم بگم راجع به کپیتالیسم اینه که کپیتالیسم بهش میگن the upward spiral دیگه. یعنی که هر چقدر که پول می‌سازی همون پول هی بیشتر پول بیشتر برات میاره
حالا
دقیقاً همین حرفایی که شما می‌زدین یکی از اشکالاتی که حالا من نمیگم کپیتالیسم بده ولی یکی از اشکالاتی که به نظر من کپیتالیسم داره و این موضوع رو افکت می‌کنه اینه که همه توی مثلا به فرض الان زندگی لایف استایل آمریکا اینجوریه که همه دارن پول میسازن پول بیشتر که با اون پول بیشتره بتونن بعد باز پول بیشتر بسازن خب و حالا توی این پروسس یه سری پول دارن یه سری خب خیلی پول دارن پول بیشتری هم دارن میسازن اونا خیلی پرسنتج کمی هن خیلی درصد کمی هن ولی یه سری هستن که هر روز کارشون و حقوقشون و پولی که در میارن اینا برای سروایواله یعنی حتی اگه خونم دارن همه تقریبا هیچ کس تو آمریکا خونه خودش رو اون نمیکنه همه دارن هی مورگیج میدن درسته همون خونم این یارو اگه یه ما کار نکنه نمیتونه پول مورگیجش رو بده من یادمه اوایل که ما اومده بودیم آمریکا مثلا یکی از دوستای پدرم بود که میگفت که مثلا من اگه کارم از دست بدم یه ما هم نمیتونم پول خونم رو بدم مثلا ما باورمون نمیشه برو بابا مثلا تو همچی خونه و زندگی داری یک ما کار نکنی نمیتونی پولش رو بدی میدونی این فرق فرهنگی که مثلا یک کشوری مثل ایران همه ذخیره مالی دارن اون بک بونشونه اینجا نه ذخیره مالی خیلی معنی نمیده you're striving to get to pull money towards yourself ولی همین striving یعنی you're also struggling and you're also struggling to survive every day خب برای همین همیشه مشغول ذهنت مشغول کار مشغول این که این پول در بیاری و بعد وقت فکر کردن زیاد نمیده که بخوای حالا فکر همسایت بکنی یعنی کالچر کپیتالیستیک باعث میشه که تو فکر خودت همیشه باشی و این باعث میشه
خانوادت.
که آره خودت و خانواده خودت بنابراین و فرهنگ پروتست موقعی فقط موفقه که تو همه رو در نظر بگیری بری همه رو کمک کنی بری جمع بشی با هم یک میدونی هم با بقیه گروه ها هم صدا بشی و یه کاری رو پیش ببری
sure ولی I think most people that are involved in protest they whatever even if they're living in a capitalist society you know they don't It has to be a part of your personality trait that you care about people more than just you and your family. You know, it has to be, even if you're the dirt poorest person in the country, you know, if you have that heart in you that you care about other people, then you see issues like this and you want to help in some way. You want to do something, even though you can't even have no money to do it.
I think there can be a degree of selfishness involved. It's definitely because people definitely protest issues that they feel are close to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like on immigration rights and things like that, when you go to the protests, I mean, there's a lot of people that go that it doesn't directly affect them, but you'll see a lot more people from immigrant backgrounds at an immigration protest than, say, at an anti-war protest. People definitely, I mean, necessarily.
Yeah,
and
you saw it in LA, right? There's like 100,000 people for that immigration protest a couple months back. It's huge. And, you know, those aren't all just well-off people that are, you know, that have enough money. Those are actually probably hardworking, you know, citizens that probably missed a couple hours of pay by being in that protest.
یه چیز جالب من توی سایت ابراهیم نووی داشتم میخوندم، خیلی جالب بود حرفی که زده بود. میگفت که ما چرا نمیایم از این تظاهراتایی که توی ایران میشه پول توریستی در نمیاریم. هر وقت تو ایران هر اتفاقی میفته تظاهرات میشه، میگن اینا عوامل خارجی بودن، اینا نمیدونم از خارج ایران اومده بودن میخواستن تظاهرات کنن، میخواستن نمیدونم یک چیزی را بندازن. همیشه هر وقت دولت ایران، حالا نه دولت الان ایران، همیشه تو تاریخ خیلی اگزمپل های جالبی داده که هر وقت دولت کم میورده میگفته که آره اینا خارجی ها بودن اومدن این کار کردن. همین داستان انگلیس ها هست که همیشه میگن انگلیس ها بودن، همینجوری میگه 27 سال قبلم یه چیز اخیری شده بود تو تبریز، یه سری تظاهرات کرده بودن و بعد یه نفر سخنگوی دولت گفته بود که آره اینا آشوبگران تبریز وابسته به کشورهای خارجی بودن. بعد نبوی میگه 27 سال قبلم وقتی تظاهرات شده بود تو تبریز برای انقلاب، اون دولت اون موقع گفت که اینا عوامل خارجی بودن. 50 سال قبلم برای فرقه دموکرات آذربایجان که داشتن به اصطلاح تظاهرات میکردن و یه جنبشی انجام دادن، میگفتن که اینا خارجی ها بودن. 85 سال قبلم باز کودتای رضاخان بوده، اونم گفتن خارجی ها بوده. 100 سال قبلم انگلیس ها انقلاب مشروطه کردن، اونم گفتن خارجی ها بوده. هر وقت تو ایران هرچی میشه میگن خارجی ها بوده. بعد میگه آخرش نشته، من نمیدونم این ملت ایران اصلا کجا هستن وقتی این اتفاقات میفته، یا اگه این همه خارجی تو کشور ما هست چرا ما از توریست درآمد نداریم. خلاصه جالب بود، گفتم اینم بخونم براتون، حال کنید باهاش. منتها شماها که اصلا یک کلمه از حرفای منم نمیفهمین.
Okay, you guys have been listening to Ironikin Live. You're still listening to Ironikin Live, and we're talking about protest culture. We are located in the San Francisco Bay Area. Of course, we're cool like that. And we have happy time with the news with Mehran Berenger. Hey, Mehran, how you doing?
How you doing? Unfortunately, I'm not the young British woman who usually sits here. But
yeah,
but
you're not as cute as she is.
I know. I keep trying, but the hair doesn't come out right. So
try an accent next time.
I seriously. Well, as an issue of nostalgia, what I'm going to do is present the first issue, which is about Stonehenge, because you know Stonehenge is in England. And for those of you who don't know, they finally figured out the mystery of Stonehenge, and it's a burial site. The burial site that was used for 500 years for the uber wealthy in that area. And interestingly enough, they used radiocarbon, which probably nobody here knows anything about, and most likely nobody who was listening to us knows anything about. But needless to say, they have figured out Stonehenge, and next is the Lockheed Monster. So we'll see what happens with that.
What was the thing with the carbon in it?
Interesting, I think.
What radiocarbon? Don't try to ask me how to do that. Don't ask me what it is when you know I don't know.
Okay.
then your choice of news is interesting.
Hey, I told you it was an issue of nostalgia.
It's an informative situation. And if you can't teach us anything.
Well, let me teach you about something I do know.
I'm down.
About.
I'm totally down.
Okay. This is about my main black man, my main black Democratic
candidate,
Barack Hussein Obama. That's right. That's right. Everyone is excited. Everyone's excited. He finally secured the nomination. Hillary stepped down. It's all good. Life is going to be good. So what do you guys think about that?
I think that's great. Actually, I think the fact that this competition took this long and they had to go at it like this made them much better candidates. And people know a lot more now because they actually have to go sit down and research these, you know, candidates to decide which one they want to vote for. Or I hope they did. I hope they didn't blindly vote for them. But
they just,
and even if they didn't read,
big platform,
these people had to give so many speeches and clarify themselves so many times.
But I mean, Obama gives really good speeches, and I was just watching the news on the way here. But anyways, it was. That there was some controversy about Hillary's speech, the last speech that she gave. I actually didn't hear it. I heard his, which I thought was really great. And he totally gave her props and said he's, you know, he's a better man for competing with her. And she made history, which she did. She was the first woman to run. I'll give her props for that. She may be whacked out cuckoo, but that's okay. She totally made history. But do you know what happened with the whole her speech situation?
Well, basically what happened in her last speech was that they said, you know, everyone thought that she was going to step down after Obama accumulated enough delegates to basically make it impossible for her to win. And with her, ultimately what she did in her last speech is say, I don't really know what's going to happen right now, but we'll keep on going. As if there was a fight to keep on going for. And no, because the problem, the controversy behind it was a lot of people are concerned that because the race was so strong, because the competition went on for such a long time, that this might have divided the Democratic Party. So they're concerned, for example, those people who supported Hillary Clinton are going to be like, I hate Barack Obama. I will never vote for him.
Yeah,
and I will vote
be a Republican than vote for Barack.
Exactly. Oh. So like a very visceral reaction instead of a very logical one.
Scandalous.
Exactly. Who knows? She might be VP. We don't know.
Didn't she
Dude,
say...
if she becomes VP, guaranteed he will be assassinated just so she can become president. She would do that. She would so...
Wow.
Wow, that's hardcore.
I shouldn't say
Didn't she also say that...
FBI, that is Behnoosh. Behnoosh.
Behnoosh, calm down, please.
Don't put me out there like that.
Didn't she also mention, apparently at the end she said, go to my website and give me some financial aid.
You know why she said that? Because she's
$20 billion in debt.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know, but what the hell?
She's like, please.
I heard she had to sell her soul to finance the campaign.
Well, the devil only paid her $1 for that because, you know, a lot of it was already sold off before that time.
Awkward.
But you know, okay, you know what? Let me tell you something. You know what I found really interesting about this campaign so far?
Mm-hmm. What's that?
I think we finally found an Iranian-American political voice. I think we finally saw Iranian-Americans going and
Babak Alavi?
Hey.
Iran again?
My mom, who doesn't know English for the life of her, was like, "Are bari Obama rai mida." I'm like, "Do you even know how to vote?" She's like, "Khob miram unja."
Okay, I don't say that about your mom, Mehran Behringer.
Really? I hope there were no dimpled chads involved.
None.
What?
But some hanging ones, so you never know.
Is your dad American?
My dad, no.
Hence your last name?
Behringer.
Behringer? No,
he's German.
He's a very famous German radio... technology creator. But let me go to my final issue if I have time.
I'm down.
Just five seconds. This is about a very famous French megastar, Brigitte Bardot. I don't know if you guys know her. She
2-1 and you're out.
Dang, man.
You wanted 5 seconds, right?
Did she die?
No.
Wait,
instead,
the lady from Rocky? Am I tripping?
No, you're definitely tripping. What French woman was in Rocky, for God's sake? No, this woman was fined 15,000 euros... or as you say, $23,000 for instigating hatred against Muslims.
Wait, aren't you talking about the chick from Flavor Flav?
Brigitte Bardot? No!
Oh, that's Virginia. Okay, I'm sorry.
This is a French megastar,
okay.
Not a porn star.
Okay.
Jeez.
Sorry.
Anyway, so she said something along the lines of, the entire population, referring to Muslims, the entire population is destroying us, destroying our country, imposing its culture. And the reason the French are actually so concerned about this is because there's, I don't know if you guys know this or not, there's a wave of anti-Islamic sentiment taking over in Europe. And everyone's very concerned about it. And so they're
trying
to prevent
it.
That
is why we should call them freedom fries and not French fries.
But maybe she meant like destruction in a good way.
Kind of like how Hillary said.
Maybe she meant obliterate in a good way.
Before self-realization can occur, you can destroy the ego.
We'll let you sit here. We're not going to cut your mic.
Sweet.
But... I'm gonna go to Babak. We need to get going with this thing. Babak,
yo.
I heard you talking about Gandhi.
Yes, that's correct.
Do you have something bad to say about Gandhi?
No, I mean it's not anything bad to say about Gandhi per se, the actual person Gandhi. But I personally I have a problem with the whole cult worship that follows some of these political figures, like the whole "do no evil." They've been basically canonized.
Gandhi is not a political figure; he is God.
Exactly. Like, if you say
thank you, Meha,
you can't criticize anything that the man did in his career. And I think if you look at what Gandhi did, there's plenty of things that could be criticized.
What's an example of one?
Well, for one thing, in 1906, that's obviously way before Gandhi became a very famous figure, but he's still established in his career. He was almost 40 years old at the time. He was in South Africa, and that's about the time that the British declared war on the Zulus, one of the native groups in South Africa. And Gandhi actually argued at the time that Indians should support the war effort. He thought that could legitimize their claims to full citizenship in the British Empire, but still, he was advocating that Indians in South Africa joined the British army and helped to suppress the uprising of the local populations there.
He never retracted that statement.
No.
That's a predicament.
Actually, he himself served in the British army during that period.
Did he really kill people?
No. He served in like one of the medical units or something like that.
He saved people.
Don't get Gandhi twisted.
No, but still, you're supporting a war effort that is killing people. There is violence involved in just the act of supporting any military organization, whether you're killing people or not.
Yeah, that's true. I totally agree.
But maybe after those experiences, he came to a realization.
I don't support the war. I'm only a computer engineer in the Air Force.
Well, you could take other examples too. Even in the independence movement, he refused to protest against the execution of rival political leaders if they advocated any kind of violence in their campaigns. He refused to protest their hangings.
پس این گاندی که میگن اون گاندی که بزرگترین چهره تظاهرات و قیامه
But dude, why would you want to ruin the image of Gandhi? I mean, it's like, okay.
Only Babak Alavi would find a way to make Gandhi seem bad.
No, the underlying theme of what I'm trying to bring up here is we should support people for their ideas. Maybe Gandhi had a lot of good ideas. He brought the homespun movement to the masses. Yeah. He encouraged participation in the, you know, structure, the forming of society, an element of society that had previously never been involved in that kind of thing before.
He was pretty cute too. He was a good looking guy.
But I'm saying at the end of the day, we have to separate the person from the ideals. We can respect ideals that he promoted, but I don't like this whole cult worship of any political figure.
I mean, I'll bet you he took girls out on coffee dates first before he went to dinner with them. I mean, I know he's a really straight up guy.
So if Gandhi is what you're telling me he is, then how about his hunger strike? What do you think about that? Do you support hunger strikes?
I mean, that's up to the... I personally don't think I would ever do a hunger strike.
Why?
It seems odd. I'm going to like...
You love food too much?
Punish myself to try to convince someone else for cause. But
well,
if
you're
someone
not
wants
important.
To do that...
He was important.
I don't think
people
that
don't
would,
care for you.
I don't think.
Oh
that's,
my God! Don't treat our guests like that.
I don't
Only
think that's
I
the argument
that.
That Gandhi would make for why he did a hunger strike. Because I'm important and you're nuts.
Well, Ganji, like Gandhi, also was on a hunger strike.
Ganji.
And then now that guy's a very divisive figure at this point. A lot of people love him. A lot of people don't like him. Like, I don't understand why.
A lot of people love to not like him.
Yeah, love to hate you.
So you're saying Gandhi's just getting too much credit for what he actually did?
No. Actually, I don't think Gandhi's getting credit for what he did. I think he's being canonized and people are just worshiping the persona of Gandhi. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that would think he was the greatest guy ever probably can't pinpoint exact things that he ever did. That's exactly the problem.
Same with Mother Teresa, right? A lot of people think of her as like this amazing woman figure, which she, I think, is, but she also was very struggling throughout her life with even if she even has faith in God or not. You know, there's new revelations that have come out that she doesn't need. She had so much struggles within herself about her religion, which is like, wow, Mother Teresa?
Wait, she wasn't
people?
In direct communication?
No landline, no hotline.
Well.
Not like our Villa at Faris here.
Well, you know what a lot of people say about truly religious people. They say that the best of them are the ones that who always doubt the existence of God and always question it.
Then I must be like the most religious guy ever.
No, but then they strive to find out, and that's what makes them the best religious people.
The whole point of life
you
is
don't
finding
strive,
it.
Man.
You don't see the strife.
The whole point of life is to try to find out what the whole point of life is. That's what that. That's where it comes from. Same thing.
Hey, this is an interesting sign on one of the on a protest. I can't talk. یک تابلو پلاکارد توی یک تظاهراتی که توی آمریکا انجام شده نوشته چی؟ نوشته که free speech for all, even for the douchebags.
Oh my God. All right, I think this is perfect time for me to go ahead and take a break. You're listening to Ironic and Live on Radio Javon. We're talking about protests. We'll have more as soon as we get back. I promise. One to make the window drop. Finally, we got our own PA. How do you think I got this kids? I'll let you hear him today.
Getting harder and harder and harder. pampered. They said it was for the black man, said it was for the Mexican, but not for the white man. But if you look at the street, it wasn't about Rodney King. It's about these fucked up situations and these fucked up beliefs. It's about coming up and staying on top. And you can't 187 on a motherfucking cop. It's in the paper, it's on the wall. So National Guard, smoke from all around.
Holy crap, we did! We want a free freaking boat!
Dad, nobody gives things away for free.
That's not true. I know plenty of people who give things away. I'll take it. Hello, China. I have something you may want, but it's gonna cost you. That's right.
Free Tibet.
All the tea.
He bought.
Did he say all the tea?
All the tea.
Did we just do Free Tibet and Family Guy together?
God.
That, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, I don't know. You know, before the show, Zeman was telling us that there's a free Mamiya with every purchase.
I'll take it.
So with every Tibetan killed, you get what? Like a happy burger or something?
Okay. All right.
Well, oh, that was kind of a stepping over the line.
You guys have been stepping over the line. I think you've missed the whole point of the line.
What Anyways. Was the line?
Something you guys frequently
anyway?
Crossed this whole show. Any Hoosers, guess what time it is?
It's that time again?
Word of the week. I have a word of the week. You guys can tell me what it means if you know what it means. It is the word hyphy.
Like in between two last names, like when you share.
That's a hyphen.
Oh, then what's a hyphy?
Hyphy, H-Y-P-H-Y, hyphy. It's the hyphy movement.
I think I know what it is.
What does it tell me?
I think it relates to marijuana.
Ooh.
Like, I got really hyphy tonight.
See, you can use it. You can use it as anything, but wait, it
that,
started
is that like
off
wireless
as a
internet?
There's like, no, hyphy is like a Wi-Fi.
Hyphy is like the way, you know, stupid people say hyphenated.
Oh, you guys aren't funny anymore.
We tried.
Yeah, okay, anyways, hyphy is a movement. Actually, I don't know. There was controversy if E40 started or not, but E40 is a Bay Area artist. Very cool guy. And let's see. It says, the Northern California way of life.
Artist,
it's a way
rapper.
Of life that includes going crazy, stupid, dumb, and retarded to get hyphy and to get angry. I don't know about angry, but just like someone's just getting buck wild, like they're getting hyphy. Like, calm down, you know?
How is that any different from what I just said at the very beginning?
Because yours was very derogatory.
Like my mom grounded me and I got hyphy.
I mean, you don't get hyphy on your mom. That's not appropriate.
Awkward.
Yeah. Do we have a Farsi word of the week?
Madiun. Who knows what
that is? That's hyphy.
Oh, no. That's it. It has something to do with a plant.
I can't even joke with that.
No. Madiun.
Madiun.
That's not even Farsi.
Madiun? What?
Madiun.
Farsi, yeah. Chara Farsi.
Okay, what is it? Madiun. What is it?
Madiun means to owe to someone. Like, somebody did something good for you and you owe it to them.
You can tell by our reactions. We're so excited about this word. Okay,
it wasn't supposed to be exciting when you have never ever heard it in your life.
Yeah, but okay, I can't. How often am I going
to
use this word?
It sounds very similar to Madiun.
Day-to-day basis.
Very often.
I'm
thank you. Say it in a sentence
again.
Madiun zahmat shoma hastim. One of the jumla.
Because that's how I talk on a daily basis.
How's that different from bedekhar?
Bedekhar,
you owe money. I said it the Arabic way. Okay, people, calm down now.
Bedekhar, yani ke vakti ke pool be yeki baad bedi. Motvajesh shodi, baba.
Baba.
Bedekhar.
Bedekhar, na bedekhar.
Ana bedekhar.
Madiunatam, yani ke sharmandatam, yani ke masalan sharmande na, vali ye khode sharmande, yani ke you have done something wrong, vali madiunatam ke you've done something really good to me and now I somehow have to repay you or do something in return.
All right, Madiun. So hyphy and Madiun.
No, in Kazakhstan we shoot animal. We do not hunt the fox.
But you should be talking to us because we love animals and that's why we're here.
We love animal too.
Why'd you shoot them?
For fun.
You can tell we're Borat fans here at Ironic and Live.
All these cuts by like different movies are driving me crazy right now. I have no idea what's going on anymore. I'm delusional.
Well, don't you have some stuff?
من می‌خواستم راجع به چی صحبت کنم. اگه یادتون باشه چند سال پیش ببین شروع کردیم
با بک
You guys just keep jumping issues here. I think you're flip-flopping on me.
I think you need to learn how to talk properly.
Cut his mic for a
while. Yeah, cut the man's mic. All right, Mehran, as you were saying.
Man داشتم میگم.
Oh, sorry.
همتون قاط زدین بابا. کلمه هفته دیگه قاط زدن.
I'm sorry, I made you into you.
مدیون.
مدیون.
Okay, بگو.
راجبه حیاتون باشه چند سال پیشا توی دانمارک یه مجله روزنامه چیزی یه کاریکاتوری کشیده بود بعد همه جا riots and all the Muslims in the world started going crazy about it.
This is about Hazrat,
the sewer situation?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. No, this is about the bomb turbine, right?
آره کاریکاتور حضرت محمد بود که بالای سرش
not bomb like cool no.
again
like oh man that turbine was bomb
خلاصه و برام جالب بود که چون خیلی جالبه این اتفاقا کم نمیفته همه جای دنیا میفته برای همه هم میفته ولی این که واقعا مثلا این همه خشونت و وایلنس که مثلا همه مسلمان ها بریزن دم سفارت ها و نمیدونم داد و بیداد و فریاد و بعد حالا اینقدر احساسی اینقدر ریاکشنری عکس العملی بیان خودشون رو نشون بدن به نظرم خیلی بده یعنی واقعا فکر کنم یکی چیزی که واقعا باید روش کار بشه و همه بفهمن که یعنی این کس مثلا به فرض اگه مسلمان اسم خودشونو میذارن بدونن که واقعا حقیقتاً به عنوان یه مسلمان این کار درسته یا نیست بخاطر که خیلی بده شب تو فکر کن یه نشریه درجه 3 دانمارکی خب که الان معلومه کی بخونه کی نخونه یه چیزی چاپ کرده واسه خودش رابطه کشورا قطع میشه از فرداش دانمارک با کیش کشور عربی و نمیدونم ایران و اینا نمیتونه اکسپورت کنه نمیتونه ایمپورت کنه. What is this? It doesn't make any sense to me.
You know what the cool thing about that was? I think the Iranian bakeries changed the Danish pastries into like Mohammad pastries after that.
Shirin Danmarki, esmish avas shod.
That was the same thing with the Freedom Fries.
That's
out here.
So. That in and of itself was enough for me to see that picture.
Oh, it's the same thing as here. French fries, Freedom Fries, same thing.
But I think the difference is when they did that in Iran, somewhere a Dane cried.
By the way, that was a protest. That's a form of protesting.
Yeah.
Just saying, you know.
Yeah.
And another protest of the same sort was, I don't know if you guys remember this, after the movie 300 came out.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Don't take my line.
Oh, My favorite thing about this situation is I think something hundreds of thousands of Iranians signed a petition against the producers of that movie.
I remember that petition.
Yeah, remember that.
But you know what they don't tell you is that the Persians were Muslim.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. but you know what I found interesting as well is that there was a companion petition at the same time about how the U.S. should not go to war against Iran. And what was the difference? Oh, yeah, 400 people signed that one. So 300,000 Iranians were so obsessed about these macho guys and ogres taking over the Greeks, but only 100 Iranians named Akbar and Hamid were obsessed with, you know, the possibility of war against Iranians.
That's sad.
That's
the nature of things. وقتی احساسی برخورد میکنه همین دیگه.
No, I mean,
فکر میکنی که چقدر مثلا چه اتفاق بزرگی افتاده یه مووی که مثلا it's based on a comic book right
it's a comic book by comic Frank book. Miller yeah
whatever خلاصه و خیلی عجیبه
and you know what let me tell you guys something just as a Mehran Behringer speaking and nobody else Cedars to Great wasn't that great Cedars
what?
To Great was not that great.
Oh, that's just... I don't know if we want to go there today.
I think we want to go there. I think if we go there, there might be a petition with 2 million Iranians against...
Well, it's kind of by definition, he was great. It's Cedars the Great, not Cedars the Really Good or Cedars the Okay.
I was going to say that.
If you want to answer Mehran Behringer, you can go to Iranican Lives blog. That's iranican.com/blog.
First declaration of the human rights.
دهن تو به من یه دقیقه کار دارم.
Oh, slap.
Guys... The fighting has got to stop.
خب خلاصه داشتم میگفتم اگرم بخواین میتونید برین توی radiojavan.com گروه ایرانیکن لایو رو جوین کنین اونجا میتونید با ما نظراتون در میون بذارید ایمیل میتونید بهمون بزنید ایرانیکنلایو@radiojavan.com هزار تا راه براتون گذاشتیم که بیان جواب این مهران برینجر رو بدین بخاطر که his claim is a big one. Cyrus the Great is not that great.
Let me make a 5-second plug on that issue. Okay. This guy conquered one of the biggest empires at that time. What do you think he did? Salam, khoish mikunam, bia ba ma. No, he didn't like, it's not like as if the guy like introduced them to the empire. He took them over, he slaughtered them. Moving on.
Perfect slaughtering music.
But along the same lines, میدونی که ایران وقتی که از کشور پرتغال توی جام جهانی باخت اسم پرتغال عوض شد به نارنگی گل محمدی. بعد از فیلم 300 مردم وقتی میشمارن اینجوری میشمارن: 298 299 گل محمدی 301 302.
That joke you just heard was from Iman O. We had Zeman here. Babak Alavi, I am Behnoosh. We had news with Mehran Behringer. You've been listening to Ironic in Live on Radio Javan. And we shall see you next week.
Go out there and protest, people.
Give peace a chance.
Give peace
Not
a chance.
Not next week. In 2 weeks.
I love you guys.
Damn. Every other week. 7 p.m.
Bi-weekly.
Yes.
Bye, guys.
Broke every signal again, everything that I'd own. I threw it out the windows, came along. Extreme waves I know will part the colors of my sea. Perfect color me. Extreme waves that held me, that held me out late at night. Extreme places I had gone, but never seen any light. Dirty basements, dirty noise, dirty places coming through. Worlds alone, did you ever like it, Pam? I would stand in line for this. There's always room in life for this.